Well, hello there, football fans, and good Monday to you. It is the Soccer Central podcast. James Sharman here, alongside, as always, John Molinaro of Sportsnet.ca. A very busy show today. We'll get to the whole Premier League story later in today's show. We'll break down the Professional Footballers Association's Team of the Year. Always a healthy debate with each selection.
Healthy. I like that. That's a good word.
Well, it's when these idiot footballers, you know, vote for their own favourite players, it's no boys club, generally speaking, right?
But I thought that they can't vote for someone on their own team, though, can they?
No, but, I mean, still.
Right.
There's still a lot of nepotism.
Fair enough.
In many ways.
Fair enough.
However, I will say this time around, it's not bad. There's been worse teams unveiled on this day every season, so I'll give them that much. We'll also discuss the Champions League draw, which was pretty juicy on Friday. But to start with, this Wednesday might just be second or third biggest day in Canadian soccer history. Is that a stretch?
No, I think it's certainly one of them.
It is the CONCACAF Champions League final. Montreal Impact have qualified, as you know, against Club America. Now, in the first leg, we all wrote them off. Everyone except for Lloyd Barker. We said, there's no chance. They'll get smashed in Mexico. 1-1 was the final there. Incredible performance. So they're going back to Montreal this Wednesday. J-Mo, you'll be there.
Yes, I'm leaving tomorrow.
We'll be covering it live on Sportsnet World and Sportsnet 1 at 8 p.m. on Wednesday as well. It's going to be a big, big occasion for Montreal. So let's go to Montreal right now. And Montreal Connected host Kelly Gregg joins us. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, I guess Montreal right now is dying for some kind of sporting storyline, right? I mean, there's nothing else happening there at the moment.
No, it's really quiet on the sports front in Montreal. There's this little team, I'm not sure if you've heard about them, the Montreal Canadiens, but, they're
right.
On the back burner for now.
Yeah, it's a cute little storyline the Habs are, you know? It's so nice. But let me ask you, now, obviously we understand, you know, Montreal advance over the Sens this weekend. They're into the second round of the playoffs. That's going to dominate. We understand that. We accept that. But whereabouts do the Impact stand in the buzz around the city? Is there a buzz?
There, of course, is a buzz. I mean, obviously, the Montreal Canadiens are always going to be the biggest story in town. And everyone kind of knows that. And, you know, the Montreal Canadiens did the Impact a huge favor by, you know, eliminating the Sens last night. And they won't have to play on Tuesday. So now all the focus in the city is on the Impact. There's still, of course, people talking about the Habs, but really that's the next big thing coming up is this Impact game. And honestly, I have never seen Montreal more excited for a soccer game before. I mean, the Impact used to be, in the glory days of the Montreal Alouettes, they were the third-ranked team in the city. Of course, it went Habs, Alouettes, Impact in terms of interest. But the Impact are far surpassing the Alouettes now after the Alouettes' terrible season. Of course, they're not in action yet. But the Impact are creating a huge buzz here, and people are actually excited to go see the Impact. I see a lot of people around town sporting the Bleu Blanc et Noir.
It's nice to see, Kelly, because, you know, in the preseason, Impact owner Joey Saputo was quite vocal in saying, you know, he was, you know, how he felt he had to really sort of work hard this year to get the fans back on side and get the buzz back. They've sold, in excess of 59,000 tickets. They've opened up another 2,000 tomorrow. So chances are this is going to be one of the, if not the largest crowd in soccer history in Canada. Obviously this is a landmark event for not just the Impact, but I would suggest for Montreal sports, is it not?
It is. It's pretty much the biggest game in the franchise's history. And as you mentioned, there was concerns at the beginning of the season that, you know, no one was buying season tickets and that the Impact were kind of falling off the radar after the abysmal season they had in the MLS last year. And so Joey Saputo had the legitimate concerns about this. But it's such a mystery, this Impact team, because they perform incredibly well in Champions League, and yet they still manage to drop the ball constantly in the MLS. So it's this interesting dynamic this team has going on. Now, for this Champions League game, the buzz, as we mentioned, has been building. And that, you know, you mentioned 59,000 fans, tickets already sold, 2,000 added today. It's coming to, they're selling standing room tickets now. So that Montreal Impact are the draw this year. It's just a shame that their stadium is not in the downtown core, so everyone most likely has to take the metro there. I don't know if you've ever been on Montreal's metro system.
Oh, yeah.
Especially after an Impact game, it can be a little rowdy. I remember last game coming back, the chants continued well into the night in the metro system. So, you know what? There's excitement. And what's interesting is that it's especially a younger fan base. We see a lot of young people at these games. It's not so much, you know, the older people. There are a lot of families, which is great. And, you know, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock is not too late for them. But the young people are getting excited for the impact.
Can they sustain this, though? Because, I mean, the cynic in me says, and I've heard this from people in Montreal repeatedly, is that, you know, Montreal sports fans, there are two things about them. They like to support winners and they like a big event. This is a big event. There's no question about it. But are these fans going to sort of keep going to the games at Stade Saputo once MLS season, you know, once they return to MLS, where, let's face it, they've been pretty poor over the last year and a half? Can they sustain this sort of buzz and this popularity, do you think? Or will it depend on them winning the game on Wednesday?
You kind of nailed it on the head there. I mean, Montreal fans don't hesitate to boo their own team and make their feelings known when they don't think they're performing well. Look, I mean, as I mentioned, the MLS record, even this year so far, they're 0-2-2 in MLS play. When you look at that compared to Champions League, you know, you're left scratching your head. But it is such a big draw because of the event. We know that this is a once in the franchise history so far opportunity to support the Impact this far. If they end up winning, who knows where they're going to end up, you know, who they're going to face and what kind of elite teams the Impact will be taking on. But it is an event town. And when you look at the Olympic Stadium, the capacity it has, you know, 59,000 fans are going to be there on Wednesday night. Stade Saputo does not hold anywhere near that amount of fans. Right. And honestly, I remember going to games at the end of last season when they were doing bad. There was maybe 1,000 fans in there. There was, you know, you could walk up and you could buy a ticket for $10 and you're, you know, sitting almost on the sidelines. So I do think that this, you know, is a kind of a flash in the pan. It gives more hope. I think the Impact will be able to kind of have the opportunity to build on it. But once they're out of Champions League or once this run is over, it's up to them to prove that, you know what, we're still winners in the MLS.
Right.
And that's a big question mark right now as to how the Impact are going to handle this kind of the end of the fairy tale, whenever it doesn't. We're hoping that the glass slipper is not coming off too soon. No.
yeah, no kidding. But I mean, do you think if, Kelly, if they win it, if they win this Wednesday and they are, you know, Champions League champions, which is, it's unimaginable, really, if you rewind a few weeks or months. Even if they achieve that, will that buy them time with the fan base that they could perhaps have a poor league campaign once again in MLS, but still bring out some fans because they're still riding that wave? Or is it going to be, okay, thanks, we enjoyed that event, now it gets down to the real business?
You know, I think there will be, you know, if they do go on to win on Wednesday and, you know, they're going to be facing some of the top teams in the world, there's going to be more interest. It's just, if Montrealers are doing well, Montrealers will be interested in it. Now, I think that fans will be kind of curious to see, well, are they the real deal? Are we, you know, once they get back to Stade Saputo and start playing in the MLS play, it's like, wow, we're watching the champions, but we don't want to watch the champions go down 3-0 to Salt Lake City again this year.
Right.
So, we're, you know, it will have kind of this Cinderella effect with the fans, but Montreal fans are notorious for that wearing off quickly. You know, as you mentioned, we love our winners, and when the winners aren't winning, we love to boo them. So it's kind of a very strange fan base to play in front of. And I was talking to the players, and they know that the Montreal fans are knowledgeable about soccer, and they're knowledgeable about the sport and kind of the what will happen and what the effects of Champions League are. But honestly, I think that it's going to be, if the Montreal Impact are winners, they will draw. It's the same with the Montreal Alouettes, and the only team that does not suffer this fate is the Montreal Canadiens in this city, to be honest.
Right. Well, I wonder why.
Some banners hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, no, exactly. Evan Bush confirmed today that his yellow card isn't going to be overturned by CONCACAF, so he's unavailable to play in Wednesday's game. That's a big blow for the Impact, obviously.
Huge blow.
Yeah, you recently sat down with him. You filed a story that's going to air this week on Sportsnet Montreal. We're going to have the video later this week on Sportsnet.ca. Maybe you can just tell our listeners about that story and what was your conversation like with Evan Bush?
Oh, Evan Bush, you know what? Evan Bush is probably the most relaxed and, dare I say, normal goaltender I've ever talked to in the MLS. This is a guy who comes in and he's calm, chill, and you look at the career he's had where he's had to fight tooth and nail over and over again with the turnover in Montreal's had with their coaching staff, with their GMs to kind of prove himself constantly. and that he has risen to the challenge. So this is really his time to shine. Unfortunately, he's not going to be playing on Wednesday. But you know what? He has such perspective of what it takes to become a number one, which is what really stood out to me. He was talking about his days, you know, playing in Ohio, and that he playing on high school soccer fields and, you know, having maybe 100 fans in the crowd cheering him on. But, you know, now he could have played in front of 59,000 fans. And he said in Costa Rica, it was the first time he ever felt legitimately like the fans wanted to hurt him. I can only imagine what it felt like to play in Mexico. Mind you, in Costa Rica, the stands were about 5 feet behind his net, and he got hit with the piece of, or the currency there. So, you know, maybe he did take a little hurting there, but he seemed genuinely excited to play in the CONCACAF Champions League final, and that's what's even more disappointing about today. I mean, you could just tell from his post-game comments last game, he was kind of resigned to his fate.
Right.
He didn't think that CONCACAF, that this was going to be overturned. He kind of, you could tell in his body language, he knew, and it was just a waiting game, really. He said, I'd really rather know now instead of wait until today to find out. Unfortunately, that's the way it went. So the Impact have a big test now to see who they're going to be bringing in and who they're going to be starting. Big test for Adam Braz, the technical director, because really they only have three options now, right? And it's John Smith, who's never played in the MLS. There's Maxim Crépeau, who's 20 years old, a local boy, but he's injured. Or they could have brought in someone from the outside, and Braz kind of said that that wasn't really an option today. So it looks like, you know, from all signs that I see, it's going to be Smith on Wednesday, and good luck to him, because there's going to be a lot of people there
right.
who are going to know his name after Wednesday.
It's interesting you bring up the point about the way that, you know, Bush has kind of worked his way up the system. I remember talking to him last year because I wrote a story about his ascent from the lower leagues of, you know, U.S. soccer up to, and he was with the Montreal when they were in the NASL and then obviously in MLS. But he was telling me a pretty funny story about, I can't remember which lower team it was, but the team was so tight-fisted and so broke that for the team breakfast, that the players would come down to the hotel and they would have, like, you know, white bread and peanut butter and jelly, and that the players had to make sandwiches for themselves. And that was like their breakfast. So it really, and the fact that he's, and, you know, to come from there to where he is now, like you said, I mean, ideally he'd be playing in Wednesday's game in front of this record crowd, but it really is an amazing ascent that he's made over the last few years.
I asked him the similar question. I said, what was your most embarrassing moment on the field? Because we had a few minutes to talk, you know, after kind of the formal interview was done. And he was mentioning this game that he played where they had, you know, the Chick-fil-A restaurants in the States?
Yeah.
Well, they had a promotion where they had, at halftime, a helicopter would fly over the stands and drop these little stuffed cows and chickens with coupons in it on the field. And the fans would have to run out and get these little stuffed animals. So second half starts up. He's in net. And all of a sudden he starts to hear a helicopter flying over again. He's like, oh, what is happening? They do a second dump in the middle of the second half, and fans flood the field during play.
No,
and he kind of said he had this moment of looking up at the sky and just saying, what am I doing here?
Oh, geez.
So it's nice to see him, you know, talk to him now once he's the starting goaltender, once he's finally got that job after Troy Perkins left last year, to kind of reminisce about those moments where you really didn't think you were going to make it.
Right.
I know a few goalkeepers would love that, actually. You know?
Yeah, that's
rained upon
my
food.
Absolutely.
During a game. Yeah, Neville
South. Unfortunately, the roof of the Olympic Stadium does not open anymore. So
that's true.
It's too bad. Impact fans.
Well, Kelly, it should be a fantastic night, an important night for Canadian soccer, North American soccer, and I think, you know, even the neutral out there must be rooting for Montreal. Thank you so much. Real pleasure.
Thank you very much, guys. Enjoy the game.
Cheers, Kelly.
That's Kelly Gregg of Montreal Connected. You can follow Kelly on Twitter at Kelly Gregg. That's G-R-E-I-G. But yeah, it's going to be a special occasion, and
yeah,
it's going to be a rocker. Now, it's funny because we've seen in recent years Club America, you know, struggling in the first leg, going back to Mexico and smashing a team, right?
Right.
And the atmosphere, you know, can crush another team. So it's going to be interesting. The shoes on the other foot, so
yes,
to speak. And these guys are well used to big pressure, but that's going to be a loud stadium.
The other thing, too, is Club America played yesterday in Mexico against Chivas Guadalajara, which is like their Clásico. Mm-hmm. It's like Barcelona versus Real Madrid in Mexico. So they got to travel up to Montreal today, whereas Montreal has been well rested. They've only had one other MLS game this week. The league has been very accommodating in terms
sure
of getting rescheduling games before both legs and after games. So, like, this is MLS has never been in a better opportunity to win this tournament. And that's the other thing we should say, James. No MLS team has ever won this championship. We also Lake reached the semi or the finals 1 year, but it's been won every year by a Mexican team. So this could be history.
Do you think MLS, or there are members in MLS who are looking at this and looking at Montreal as being the club flying the flag, and they could be the first team to do it, to become, you know, this historical figure, and they're a little bit aggrieved?
No, I honestly don't. I think they're just so happy just to have a team in the final. Mm-hmm. Look, would they rather it be LA or Seattle or, you know, New York or a high profile team? I don't doubt that for a fact. But the fact that an MLS team even got there and the path that Montreal has taken, I think they're ecstatic. And like I said, the fact that they've been so accommodating in terms of, you know, redoing the schedule to let them have a go at this, it's clear that MLS is firmly behind them about this.
And it's going to look great visually as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Fans, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to love that, saying, this is a legit, we are legit.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a fan base in MLS that are supporting our teams on the bigger stage that they're going to play in anyway. So, yeah, it's going to be outstanding. Love hearing that Adam Brouwers is so involved.
Yeah, good to see you.
Remember when he was at TFC, when the first guy's interview was Adam Brouwers, and for a year or so, he was one of the best guys to deal with.
Yeah.
Him and Marco Reda were both outstanding. Yeah. They really took their job as an ambassador for the game in this country very seriously. Mm. And I thought they were both outstanding. And yeah, Adam Brouwers, a lot of time for him. All right, well, listen, staying with MLS quickly, we should mention the other two Canadian teams. TFC won.
On the road.
And more importantly, forget the goals here. Jose scored two goals. Forget that.
The shadow?
A clean sheet.
I know.
What the hell is going on? First time in 10 games, right?
Well, listen, fully deserving, because I saw the game, mm-hmm. and they were very well organized defensively. They had sort of two banks of four lined up.
Yeah, we'll say 4-4-2, right?
Yeah, which was a bit of a departure, because usually Greg Vanney likes to play with the diamond midfield. So it was clear that they had, not that they were playing negative football, but it was clear that they were focused on stopping Orlando, and they did quite well, because Kaká, other than a few flashes, didn't really do all that much.
Haugalund, who came off a nightmare last week, playing centre-back once again beside Pukui, and looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And Ashton Morgan, again.
Fabulous.
You know, that's what a good season for him so far.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. And it's interesting, too, because he's displaced Justin Morrow, who's shifted over to the right side. Justin Morrow, probably one of the best left backs in MLS. Mm-hmm. And I asked Greg Vanney after the game if, you know, considering Ashton's impressive run of form, might he consider to keep playing him at left back and play Morrow out of position on the right? He said, yeah, absolutely. The
clean
way he's going.
Clean sheet.
Yeah.
Don't mess with that.
Yeah, he says, absolutely. Just with the way that Ashton's Morgan, why would you sort of mess with anything? So it's good for him.
They're from Philadelphia this weekend.
Yeah, which is a winnable game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's funny how, you know, a few days can change everything, because this time last year, there's all these, you know, rumors being leaked or, you know, being made up, whatever it is, about the future of Greg Vanney and Bespachenko, and are they going to hire a president? And it will still happen, but it was a very negative spin last week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, within a few days, one win, and suddenly it's more of a positive spin. And if they go to Philadelphia, and as I mentioned, a very winnable game, they get that. That's 9 points, right?
Yeah.
So far on the road trip. That's not bad
for
a road trip to start the season, the hell that it's been.
No.
They'll take that. If you told them you're getting 9 points from this awful road trip, they would probably have taken it.
I know on the surface, 9 points out of 21 sounds awful, but
TFC.
And plus, you know, most teams, I think the philosophy mostly in MLS is if you can average a point on the road, then you're ahead of the game.
Right.
Because usually you pick up the majority of your points on at home.
7 games, 9 points?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
By that standard. So,
It's all going to be leveled out, because there's going to be a ton of home games this summer.
Right.
Hopefully
before
turn
packs,
Timo into a...
Yeah.
Into
a fortress.
Yeah, we keep hearing that word, the fortress. But
and we'll see.
You know, it's our house after all.
Yes.
As they keep telling us. Is that still the logo, slogan? Our house is our house?
I don't think so.
Isn't that? Is it? Maybe that could
be. It's kind of passe now.
Well, let's hope so. It didn't work out, did it? This is our house. It's crumbling. The walls
Isn't
are
there a
falling
song
down.
From the 80s, Our House?
Our house.
Yeah,
in the
that?
Middle of our street. Madness.
Madness, was that it?
Yeah. Yep. Madness.
Leave it to you.
I'm going to see a show tonight, actually, Spandau Ballet. Playing.
Oh, wow. There is a name for
old
the past.
School, eh?
Wow.
80s, yep. Fantastic. Should be good. Looking forward to it.
Cool.
Gary Kemp, big Arsenal fan.
Is he really?
Yep. Apparently. So I found out from Greg Brady, who's taking me. I'm Brady's date tonight, actually.
I'm not going to touch that.
Oh, nor am I. Trust me. Vancouver, they lost to DC.
Yeah, kind of a disappointing game from the perspective that Matias Laba picked up two yellow cards in the span of 8 minutes, like in the first half. And first one was questionable. The second one, I mean, he didn't need to do it. It was a professional foul when, you know, Montreal, as DC was kind of on the break, and Vancouver was well positioned to stop it. So it was really a needless foul. So that's, you know, Pedro Morales was just coming back from suspension after he picked up a red card. So this is two games out of three that their designated players have picked up, have been expelled. So it's not good. They've got a real discipline problem. They lead the league in cards and fouls committed.
Really?
So yeah, which is a bit surprising from a Carl Robinson coach team.
Yeah,
so,
control guy. Yeah,
they got to be a little bit more smarter.
Women's World Cup, the roster squad announcement for Canada will be happening in about half an hour from now. But
yes, as we record,
so by the time you hear this, it's all dated, so we have no idea what's happening.
Well, I've actually got the list.
Oh, do you?
They actually gave me an embargoed list.
So, nice. Yeah. Who's on it? You can tell us now.
Yeah, I can tell you now. All the regulars. So
is Christine Sinclair on it?
Christine Sinclair, believe it or not, is there. Uh-huh. I think I counted it's 13 members of the 2012 Olympic team.
Okay. 13?
So all the usual suspects are there. The big one is Diana Matheson. Mm-hmm. I know she blew out her knee, last October, and there's some question as to whether she'd be named to the team. And last week she was seen on crutches with a cast on her foot. So, I mean, I don't know whether she's going to be fit to play, but she is on the roster list.
Right?
So, yeah,
okay.
So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Yep, it will. All right, let's move to the European scene here in the Prem this weekend. Chelsea could have set up a clinching game this week on Sportsnet, but they didn't beat Arsenal. They tied them 0-0. Oh, God. What an awful game.
Dire to watch.
Wow. It's typical Jose, though, right? Now, let me ask you this, J-Mo. As an Arsenal fan and a team that back in the 90s, when they were very successful, played a very similar style of football. Chelsea have been hammered over the past week. You know, people are saying, like, all these star players, why don't they play properly? Why do they insist on this awful defensive style of football? And, you know, I really don't care if you get results. And you ask any Chelsea fan, they don't care. What was your thought on that? Should they, are they obligated to play an attacking brand of football just because of the players they have?
Well, I don't think they're obligated. I mean, I'm sure Roman Abramovich would certainly like it. But I find this whole, you guys don't play football the wrong way, I find it really tiresome, to be honest, because it's a results business. I mean, like, yeah, okay, they went to Emirates on Sunday looking to just shut down the Gunners and not giving anything away and play for the tie. Well, you know, what would you do? Like, why would you sort of be open up and give Arsenal, possibly if Arsenal wins, then give them that little bit of hope? I mean, they grind out results. It's not pretty, but it is what it is, and I don't have a problem with it at all.
I don't like it, but I get it.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I accept it. And like I mentioned, there's no Chelsea fan out there complaining with these championships. But you made a good point with Roman Abramovich, because originally his whole model was,
absolutely,
I want to be Barcelona. Yeah. I want to play attacking football. And that's a part of the reason why him and Jose fell out originally, and why Jose left the club. But I guess he's kind of woken up and said, listen, who cares how you get it done?
Right.
Let's just get this thing done. And they're doing it. And the way they celebrated post-match.
Oh, as if they had won.
As if they won the game.
Oh,
right, and the championship.
Absolutely.
So they knew what they did. Jose said that John Terry played the best defensive game he's ever seen him play.
Well,
he was very good.
He was solid.
He was.
There's no question.
Yeah. But a point is a point. And they will not now clinch live on Sportsnet on Wednesday when they're taking QPR.
Yeah, if they had won that game.
Watching,
If they had, well, absolutely, because Leicester's,
Derby.
Well, yeah, because Leicester's, what, won four in a row now, and obviously they're out of the drop zone, so it's a huge game for them.
Did I say QPR? I meant Leicester.
Yeah, you meant Leicester,
Yes. Leicester, what about Leicester?
Oh,
huh?
It's a great story.
Four straight wins?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
A bit fortunate, because who were they playing on the weekend? Was it?
Burnley.
Burnley, yeah. Burnley, they get a penalty, and they hit the post, and Leicester comes right back down the field like 30 seconds later, get an own goal to win it. So it was a massive result.
They deserve some luck, this team, though, because they've played pretty well all year long, and they haven't been getting the results, but they've been, you know, on the wrong end of some pretty bad luck.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good for that. I feel badly for Burnley, because I think they've been kind of similar as well, but God, what a great story of Leicester. If they can escape, because like a month ago, I mean, they were dead. Like, no one saw this coming, so it's fabulous.
I love Sean Dyche, the Burnley manager, though, because he was asked, you know, about, you know, his life and death, you know, and how he goes, you know what, listen, people.
I saw that too.
Relax, you know, this, it's very important to me
and
to this club and to the fans. It's very important. But there's bigger worries in the world than a football match.
See, I like that.
Me too. It's bang
I like
on.
That. Yeah.
It's bang on, though some people might disagree. Man City, snack one, against Villa 3-2. Wow.
Yeah, enjoyable.
Minute, Fernandinho scores to make it 3-2 about a minute prior to that. Christian Benteke was ruled offside, even though
he wasn't.
Was then fouled by Joe Hart. Would have been a penalty if not for the offside call.
Well,
so, you know, City got some luck there.
Yeah.
The right way. Southampton tied Spurs 2-2. Good point for Southampton, but that was Pochettino's return.
I didn't see what kind of return did he get. Were the fans...
Well, actually, it was I forget what they called it, but they asked all the fans to wear orange in support of Ronald Koeman. A lot of guys, there was a lot of orange in the stands there.
Okay.
So that was a nice little response to him. Yeah. I think, you know, listen, Koeman could well and might well deserve to win the Manager of the Year.
Yeah.
So, you know, as much as they don't want to see Pochettino leave,
right,
they've replaced him with a pretty good guy.
Oh, I think so. It's worked out.
Very good job.
Yeah, it's worked out very well for the Saints.
Stoke won, Sunderland won, won't even talk about that. Oh, God.
Oh, did you see O'Shea? He took a cleat to the face.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Split him open, right? He's a tough boy as well.
Oh, and he came back. I mean, God love him.
Left eye, chin.
Right eye.
Right eye. It was like battered.
Yeah, he was like he had been like in a prize fight.
I like John O'Shea.
Oh, I've had a lot of time. I've got a lot of time for him.
Everton smashing United 3-0.
Fabulous, fabulous result.
Yep, absolutely. Where's that form, you know, when you need it, Everton?
Well.
Wow.
But I guess because Fellaini was back for the first time.
Rough for it maybe, but it's a bit of a, you know, down to earth for United, which was needed, I think.
I think so.
Liverpool were awful in 0-0 against West Brom in Steven Gerrard's 500th Premier League game, which is pretty impressive.
Right.
Bellow started, did absolutely nothing. The Reds could have won that game, 74% possession, right? They dominated, one crossbar, but they just miss out on, you know who, and they can't score goals right now.
I heard Sturridge is out for the rest of the year,
possibly. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing as well. Yeah,
so I wonder if Bellow or even Barini is going to get more of a run out now.
I would think. Forget Barini, right? You give Bellow a run at games here because... One or two things can happen. He can catch fire and get some confidence.
Right.
Or at the very least, he can show himself to other clubs so they can get something for him.
Move him on.
Season, right? If you bench him now without, you know, other options up front.
Good luck moving
him. Exactly. That'd be interesting anyway.
We didn't mention about the Arsenal game to keep... I mean, the missed sort of penalty calls. I don't know if you saw
that. Yeah, the three of them. One was, I thought, more obvious. I think the last one. What was the last one? There's a handball.
The handball.
No, the handball I didn't think was.
No, the first two, I think, dead on. Right. Should have been penalties going to Chelsea's way. But what stood out for me was, the Oscar thing.
The fact that he was... not an Oscar?
Yeah. The fact that he went down and then, you know, he came back and he played the rest of the half.
And then he went to hospital.
Then he went to hospital. They've got to do a better job with the concussion protocol.
Yeah, it's a joke.
They really got to do better than that. And it was nice to see Cesc Fabregas get a warm welcome from Arsenal fans.
And I'm glad, absolutely. And that was class because, listen, we know he left your club. He went to Barcelona, his boyhood club.
Right.
It wasn't like he went to your rivals. And
no.
Now, I've heard both sides of the story this past summer that one was Wenger turned down the chance to sign him. The other said that he turned down the chance to go with Arsenal. I forget what the deal was there. Who could have gone back or who couldn't have gone back. But he went to Chelsea anyway. And the rest is history.
Yeah. He was a great servant for Arsenal Football Club. So it was nice that the fans recognized that.
PFA. Awards, for what it's worth. We joked about it beforehand, but you haven't seen the team yet, have you?
I know that Hazard was named Player of the Year, which was deserving.
Should.
Was the order Kane and then Aguero?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Kane was second. He also won Best Young Player.
Right.
Not bad for a guy that was behind Roberto Soldado and Manuel Adebayor.
As late as November.
In November.
I know.
Incredible. What a performance.
Well, Hazard, I think that's deserving. I don't think there's much question.
Yep. There wasn't that much competition, if you ask me, really. I mean, De Gea was brilliant, but you're not going to give it to a goalkeeper.
Well, I thought Kane might get some consideration. Yeah.
I think had they competed for top four.
Top four, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But, I mean, listen, Hazard's been superb. And imagine Hazard in an attacking team.
Attacking manager. Wow. Jeez.
Anyway, the PFA team, you haven't heard it yet, right? So De Gea was in goal. All right.
Huh, interesting. I would have voted for Courtois.
I'm fine with De Gea there.
But I'm fine with that.
By himself. Centre-backs, Terry, fine with that. Cahill, I thought was a surprise.
Yeah, it's
I wouldn't
bit.
Have put surprise, Cahill there.
Right.
I would have put Koscielny, Font.
I had Font.
Did you?
And Koscielny, I think, in my...
Did you? Yeah. I had Terry in mine, for sure. Left-back, I like this. I wasn't my pick, but Ryan Bertrand, Southampton.
Mm, interesting.
Chelsea loan player, isn't he?
I think so.
They buy him. Anyway.
I think I had Cresswell at left
back. I had Cresswell at left back. But either one. They're both, superb this year.
Right back's got to be Ivanovic.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt there. Midfield, it's a 4-4-2, right? They're playing. I don't know why. No one plays. Not many teams play 4-4-2 these days. But anyway, center of midfield, they have Matic. Mm. Fair enough. Coutinho. Yeah,
and listen, I don't know.
He's been very good this year. I think he had that incredible spell around voting time.
Yes.
Right, 4 or 5 games, and he scored goals. He was superb.
He's been outstanding the last month or so.
Yeah.
Two months.
Not the full season, though.
No. You know, I like him. I think he's a great player. I don't know that he'd be in my team, though.
I had Fabregas there, actually, even though I know he's slumped. But look at the assists.
Yeah.
Some people have Schneiderlin. I wouldn't have minded Schneiderlin there as well. Yeah. Very good. But Matic walks into that team for me. Hazard, obviously. Yeah. And Sanchez on the other side.
Yeah, that's no who problem. I had.
Up front, Kane.
Yep.
And Costa.
Yeah, I think so.
I voted Costa, not Aguero.
I did too.
I thought Aguero's been too inconsistent. Had an incredible stretch of games. I guess around Christmas, wasn't it? He kept scoring and he got hurt for a while.
Right.
And since he's come back, he hasn't been the same player.
No, I agree. I'd put Diego Costa in front of Sergio Aguero. Absolutely.
So that's the PFA team of the year, for what it's worth. We should, before we leave, get to the Champions League draw quickly. We'll do obviously more depth next week. So apparently the song is just "We Are the Champions" in different languages.
Yes. It's like, yeah, I didn't know that. German, Italian, yeah, a couple other ones. Yeah.
I don't know what language you were singing there, but anyway, Champions League draw. We got our wish. Bayern Munich, Barcelona twice. Yeah. Pep.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't want to risk not seeing it, you know? So I'm really happy they drew in that match. I believe Benzema and Bale will be healthy for it as well.
Yeah. I mean, in one sense, you're right. It's good that we get to see them twice. On the other hand, you think, boy, what a great final that would be. Because I think they're the top two teams in Europe right now. But yeah, you're right. That's fantastic. And, I think the rivalry is...
It's more fascinating seeing them twice.
Absolutely.
And just having Pep going back to Barcelona, right? I wouldn't have seen that, would we?
No. Right? So many great storylines there. Oh, so it's going to be just, I think, a fantastic series between, as I said, the two best club teams in the world right now.
Sure, we'll break it down more next Monday in the podcast. Real Madrid. Juventus.
I'll take that.
Juventus. I would take it too.
Oh,
I think Juve have a really good opportunity here.
Yeah, I was dreading. I mean, I was just like, I wouldn't want to face Barcelona. I wouldn't want to face Bayern Munich. I mean, I'll take my chances in a one-game final, but not over two legs. But yeah, I think Real Madrid, this isn't any disrespect to them, but I think they're beatable. And it's funny that a team like Juventus has suddenly become a bit of the hipster's choice in this tournament.
I know, isn't it? Juve of all teams?
Yeah, of all teams.
Yeah.
So,
the plucky underdog?
Yeah, the plucky underdog, or, you know, kingpins of Italy and Spain, whatever. But I think that's a nice matchup. And if it's anything like their previous encounters, I mean, I still remember the 2003 Champions League final when you had guys like Beckham and Zidane and Figo. Yeah,
that was the first Latigo era, wasn't it?
Oh my God. That semifinal where, you know, in the Italy of the Juventus of Del Piero and Trezeguet and Nedved. What a great two game series that was in the semifinals. So if it's anything like approaching that, then we're in for a real treat.
Do you think Neve gets royalties every time he's shown on camera doing Juve games? Because he's always at Juve games. Yeah, right? And they always show him that beautiful lock of blonde hair.
Yeah.
You know, just shines through.
Great player.
Yeah, well, absolutely incredible.
Still burns me that he was suspended for the final.
Yeah. It'd be a good feature. Great players who missed the big game in their careers. Roy Keane missed 99 final, for example, right?
Yeah.
John Terry missed the Champions League final.
Michael Ballack missed the 2002 World Cup final.
Yep. Like the moments that should have been their moments didn't make it. Usually down to stupid yellow card accumulations.
Well, that's what it was in Nedved. I certainly remember. I mean, I remember Michael Ballack picking up a foul that, I mean, it was clearly a foul. And like it was really a foul that prevented a goal. So he was really sacrificing for the team. But
well, remember John Terry's stupid,
I don't remember.
Like a stamp from behind or was it a headbutt from behind?
It was the headbutt.
Dumb. It was petulant.
Right.
But he still managed to get on the field for the ceremonies.
And what was Keane? Do you remember? Was it just accumulation?
I think it was accumulation. I have to check that. That's 16 years ago.
Wow.
Oh, God. 16 years ago.
How we've aged.
But that'd be a good feature. You know, we could call it the Gazza Files because, you know, Paul Gascoigne World Cup semi-final, they didn't win the game. But when he realized he was going to miss the final.
The tears, right?
Which is one of the most iconic images in football.
Right.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
A good feature, actually, maybe one day.
Yeah. I'll have to write that up.
Yeah. Do it. When I say that'd be a good feature, what I'm saying is you should do it, J-Mo.
All right.
We're out of time. Our thanks to Kelly Gregg, who set us up for that huge Montreal Club America match
on Wednesday, 8 p.m. Sportsnet World and Sportsnet One. Plus, check out sportsnet.ca throughout the week. Jamie's heading there tomorrow to get all the details, all the dirt on these players. And we'll be outside the Club America Hotel, apparently, with bells and drums. And
I know where they're staying. So if any people in one of Montreal want to like circle the block and honk their horn, let me know and I'll tell you where they're staying.
You should stand on the street outside and start singing the Champions League anthem.
I know. That'd go over well.
That would be good. Yeah, that would wake anyone up. Yeah. All right, we're out of time. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed this. We're back on Thursday with the other far poorer podcast with Dunlop and Dobby. See you later.